Good morning and welcome to Shattering Myths. I am Yada. Each weekday here on GCN, we expose the destructive myths that are associated with religion and politics, patriotism and the media, and with military and economic schemes. Instead of merely presenting the news, our mission is to understand what is actually occurring behind those headlines, while predicting how the events they present will shape our world over the next 10 to 20 years. Then during our second hour, we're going to engage God on his terms through evidence and reason, since his is the lone reliable and credible voice in an exceedingly troubled world. Our phone number for those who would like to participate in this discussion is 877-300-7645. During the news, which is presented by a Christian radio network, Salem Radio Network, a woman came on and said that she wanted your money. And she wanted your money so that she could continue to promote her Christian work. And she spoke of an example of how wonderful that work is by saying that a woman had given her life to Jesus Christ. And that as a result of that, her headaches went away. God does not ask us to give our lives to him. That is repulsive. It is the antithesis of the truth. I mean, beyond the fact that there is no Jesus Christ, that Christ is not a last name, it's not even an accurate presentation of his title, and that Jesus isn't even remotely close to anything associated with Yahusha. Beyond that, of course, beyond the fact that he told us not to look at him, but instead to look through him to the Father. Beyond all those misconceptions, God does not ask us to give our lives to him. Our life is his gift to us. I mean, why is everything in Christianity upside down? Even eternal life and the covenant are God's gift to us. He gives us our mortal lives, he gives us our eternal life. He is in the business of giving life to us, not the other way around. Morons. Geez. You just, once in a while, you think that Christians would say something that bordered on sane. But alas, the prophet, false prophet, who created the religion of Christianity, admitted that he was insane, admitted that he was demon-possessed, admitted that he was a sexual libertine, admitted that he was a murderer, admitted that he was ignorant and irrational. And yet Christians believe that his letters are inspired scripture. So I guess it would be way too much to ask for something rational. There was a tragic event that took place the end of last week here in Southern California. In Santa Monica, a 26-year-old woman, as you heard in the news, is the fifth person to die from a shooting spree that took place at Santa Monica Community College. I typically don't comment on these things because unless there is a greater revelation, something that fits into a theme that we can learn something from, there really isn't any merit in talking about every tragedy that takes place across the country. But I noticed something about this that piqued my interest, which is when a story disappears from the headlines, chances are there's something those in power don't want you to know. You know, I have as my homepage 10 news feeds, each of the 10 news feeds providing their top 10 stories. News feeds like BBC, New York Times, Los Angeles Times, Reuters, CNN, the largest news sources in the world. Not one of them has this shooting at the Santa Monica Community College, where five people have now died, as one of the top 10 news items. So when that happens, you always have to wonder, what is it that this country does not want you to know? Well, the suspect in the shooting has been identified. This reminds me, by the way, before I tell you his name, of what happened with Chu, the fellow at Virginia Tech. You know, when that story came out, of course, the whole nation was fixated on it. But the story went away as soon as Chow's manifesto was released. And the authorities only released headlines out of his manifesto. And then they pulled it. And they have completely removed it from public purview. You can't read it, can't search it. And the reason was that the headline read, Ishmael's Axe. And the media and the authorities let that little bit out because they had no idea what it meant. And what Ishmael's Axe represents is Islam. The whole story in Islam of how Ishmael became the darling of God, of their God, was that he allegedly went into a temple in, I suppose, in Mecca, maybe Baghdad, who knows where the little boy was at the time, according to the stories in Islam. But he took an axe to the all but the largest of the idols. He spared it so that he could have a little chat with the largest idol, which, of course, would have been Allah. Destroying all of the competition to Allah. It was the story. The story is called Ishmael's Axe. Once that came out and it was identified as Islamic, the rest of the story was on absolute shutdown. Well, the same thing appears to have happened at the Santa Monica Community College. The shooter, his last name was Zawahiri. Zawahiri is a Arabic name. It means slave. In Islam, being a slave to Allah is considered the epitome of good form. It's Abdullah, for example, the king of Saudi Arabia. Abdullah, that name means slave to Allah. There are two Arabic words for servant, slave. And this killer has one of them. Zawahiri. You may have heard the name Zawahiri before. The most wanted Islamic terrorist in the world's name is Ayman Zawahiri. He is the fellow who was the number two of Al-Qaeda and now is the leader of Al-Qaeda now that America has killed the leader of Al-Qaeda. And now that it is Zawahiri that perpetrated the killings, and that obviously Zawahiri is an Islamic name, we have radio silence. Authorities said that he killed his father, Shamir Zawahiri, who goes by the name of Sam, but Shamir is another Islamic name, and his brother, before carjacking a woman and firing at a public bus on Friday. Scant details are trickling out about Zawahiri, who was killed by police at the Santa Monica Community College the day before his 24th birthday. Young Muslim boy. Police had contact with Zawahiri in 2006, but because he was a juvenile then, they couldn't release further information. No, our police do a marvelous job, as does the FBI, of hiding information. A law enforcement source with knowledge of the investigation told CNN on Sunday that the gunman had suffered from mental health issues. Yeah, religious health issues. Religion, according to God, is a poison. A few years ago, he was hospitalized for treatment after allegedly talking about harming someone. You know, if you were threaten to kill people, they have a tendency to question your sanity. Authorities believe that the house was set on fire. He burned his house down before his father and brother were shot. The 13-minute shooting spree followed several, it was continued, I should say, spanned several parts of Santa Monica. One of the five people killed was shot outside the library of the school. That is the woman who just died. She was there to buy books. That was all that caused her to be killed. Wrong place, wrong time. A suspect or a victim of a deadly religion. The assailant, dressed in black and carried out in his assault-styled rifle. Seabrooks estimated, this is a police officer, estimated the gunman had about 1,300 rounds of ammunition. And got the number of ammunitions, got the clothing that he was wearing, that got all that there. And you can see, I would say it's premeditated, but the only thing, of course, he can't say and won't say is why the man did it. Can't make the connection between Zawahiri, the most wanted terrorist in the world, and Zawahiri acting like a terrorist. Investigators, this article said, are still trying to determine the motives for the shooting that left four people wounded. You know, this is tragic, particularly in the light of what happened at the end of last week with the revelations that the United States was not just spying on its citizens via their cellular telephones and tens of millions of Americans via their cellular telephones, but also via all of their internet activities. You know, if the American security apparatus would simply read the Quran and Hadith, or sparring that, save yourself a good 1,000 hours and read Prophet of Doom, which puts the Hadith and Quran together in the context of Muhammad's life, reorders them in chronological order, so that it is easy to see what Islam is about. They can go online. The book's free. We could save not only Americans the invasion of their privacy, but the country, a good $1 trillion between the military and spying, and provide them all the information they need to keep Americans safe from Islamic terrorism. Don't willfully invite Muslims into the country, as was the case with Zawahiri. Don't allow them to immigrate into the country. Don't give them academic visas. Don't give them work visas. Don't pretend, as was the case with the Shinarevs, that the Muslims who are the perpetrators of terror are somehow the victims of it. Wake up. Welcome back to Shattering Myths. I'm your host, Dietta. U.S. Spy Chief James Clapper has strongly defended government surveillance programs after revelations of phone records being collected and internet servers being tapped made it onto the world scene. He said, he didn't say that his spying on tens of millions of Americans was bad. Nope, that's not bad. Forget that Constitution. He said that the disclosure of a secret court document on phone record collection threatened irreversible harm. So what the U.S. spy chief says is that the truth, affirmation that the United States government at its highest levels approved spying on tens of millions of Americans, that the release of that information, the truth coming to light, that is what threatened irreversible harm. Talk about a world that's morally bankrupt and upside down. If you've got a U.S. spy chief that is that grotesquely immoral, that irrational, then what else do you have in Washington at the levels that has their hands on the levers of power that is working against you, not for you? Revelations of an alleged program to tap servers of 9 internet firms were reprehensible, he said. No, not the program. No, the program of spying on Americans wasn't reprehensible. What was reprehensible is revealing the program. The U.S. Director of National Intelligence said he wanted to reassure Americans that the intelligence community was committed to respecting their civil liberties and privacy. Yeah, that's why the acknowledgement that they were not doing it was so harmful. So here's a man who is knee-deep in a disclosure that the United States has actually created a program called PRISM to collect information on virtually every internet site of consequence, and also to track your use of your cell phone, and that is absolute proof that the U.S. intelligence community is committed to respecting the civil liberties and privacy. Nothing says privacy like spying on everything you do. For those who are still patriots, wake up. That program was followed by revelations in both the Washington Post and the Guardian that U.S. agencies tapped directly into the servers of 9 internet firms to track people in a program known as PRISM. The NSA confirmed that it had been secretly collecting millions of phone records, but Mr. Clapper said the unauthorized disclosure threatens potentially long-lasting and irreversible harm to our ability to identify and respond to the many threats facing our nation. You know the greatest threat facing our nation, the United States? The United States government. Has been for a very long time. There is a reason that almost all great nations die from within, and very few die from external threat. America is a glaring example. It has lost its way. It has become morally decayed. And because it has lost its way, because it knows that it has acted in a manner that is destructive to its own citizens, any disclosure of its behavior is considered reprehensible. And the reason that they want to spy on everyone is because when you know that you are rotten to the core, you're always paranoid. You're always afraid that someone's going to find you out, figure out what you're doing, expose you. And that's the reason that they're spying on so many Americans. They want to respond to the many threats facing our nation. Well, if you were really wanted to respond to the threats facing our nation, shut down Washington. Shut it down. They, elected officials and guys involved in spying, the NSA and CIA, they're the great threat to our nation and have been for a long time. If you wanted to deal with Islam, which perpetrates 99.9% of terrorist acts around the world, read Prophet of Doom. It's free online. Read the Quran. Read the Hadith. Do your own research. The books are all free. They're all available. Tell the truth. Stop hiding in the shadows. We'll return to this story because we have it presented from many angles, not only from the NSA and CIA's perspective, which is repulsive, but also from the White House, from Congress, and from the man who actually released the information. Welcome back to Shatteringness. What is it about the United States with, we had the disgrace of Congressman Wiener. We've got a congressman named Bonner, but it's phonetically it's Boner, and now we've got Clapper. Maybe it's our names are indicative of the condition of our country. The article, according to Mr. Clapper, omitted key information. He said about the use of the records to prevent terrorist attacks and numerous safeguards that protect privacy and civil liberties. Yes, nothing says, I want to protect privacy and civil liberties, like the collection of data on tens of millions of cell phone users and every major internet site in the world. Nothing says, I want to protect your privacy more than spying on virtually everyone. He said reports about PRISM contained numerous inaccuracies. Oh, well then, great spy chief. Why don't you correct those numerous inaccuracies? Now, the guy that released it was working in the program. He copied the documents. He gave copies of the documents to the media. If your documents are flawed, Mr. Spy Chief, why don't you correct the typos? And then you can redistribute them if you're so proud of what you're doing. Disclose everything. While admitting that the government collected communications from internet firms, he said the policy only targets non-U.S. persons. Now, guess what? According to the documents that was released, that's not true. PRISM was reportedly developed in 2007 out of a program of domestic surveillance and warrants that was set up by President George W. I. M. A. Traitor Bush. One of the things that bothers me about all of this is that while Barack Hussein Obama is amongst the most dangerous and the most deceitful and the most traitorous men ever to occupy the White House of the United States, he is followed very closely in terms of being counterproductive, being an enemy of America, by George W. Bush, the man who lied to engage American troops in Iraq and Afghanistan, leading not only to the deaths of a million people, 10,000 Americans, squandering of $6 trillion, bankrupting the country, its future, but also sacrificing any moral high ground that America had, because every ounce of it was based on a lie. And, of course, the Patriot Act is the child of George W. Bush. It was an act that everyone who read it, looked at it, considered it, knew was exactly the opposite of what claimed to be. It was using a myth, a war on terrorism, which is nothing but a myth, as a ploy to usurp freedoms from Americans. What the terrorists did not do on 9/11, those 19 Muslims, the U.S. government accomplished. PRISM was reportedly developed in 2007 out of a domestic program of domestic intelligence, George W. Bush, Clapper said. The program, under Section 702 of the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act, was reauthorized by Congress after hearings and debate. That's what the president wants everyone to know is, oh, man, don't blame me. You know, I presented this to Congress, and, you know, the Congress, they voted for it. Information collected under this program is among the most important and valuable foreign intelligence information we collect, and it is used to protect our nation from a wide variety of threats, he added. There's only one threat. Truly, there really is only one threat, the U.S. government itself. Its reckless spending is bankrupting the country. Its tendency to lie to Americans is rendering the country such that most Americans are ill-equipped to make reasonable and rational decisions. Their tendency to usurp liberties and to cripple businesses, destroying the country. Their ignorance of and animosity towards the U.S. Constitution makes the U.S. government America's greatest threat. If there was a second threat, it would be fundamentalist Islam. And to avert that threat, simply come to know the nature of the religion. Read Prophet of Doom, the most comprehensive, the most chronological, the best documented, the most contextual presentation of the five oldest and most credible Islamic sources. Read it. You could save yourselves such embarrassment and, of course, hundreds of billions of dollars while protecting America from the only two real threats. While the U.S. citizens are not intended to be the targets of surveillance, the Washington Post says that large quantities of content from Americans are nevertheless screened in order to track or learn more about the targeted individuals. So this idea that he said, hey, no, PRISM is just on foreign nationals. No, not true. The Washington Post says, no, that is just another lie. The Washington Post named nine companies participating in the program. Participating in the program is really a bad term, but the Washington Post is not very pro-business. They're not participating. They have court orders from the secret court that requires them to divulge this information. Microsoft, Yahoo, Google, Facebook, Paltalk, AOL, Skype, YouTube, and Apple. Yeah, besides that, they're not spying on anyone. And those just, you know, all happen to be American companies. All companies that the U.S. judicial system has control over, the U.S. government has control over. Here's U.S. government yelling at Apple last week for being a tax evader after paying $6 billion in U.S. federal taxes, $10 billion overall in U.S. taxes, and calling them a cheat. And yet the U.S. government was forcing Apple to remain silent while they stole their records, making them vulnerable. Microsoft said in a statement to the BBC that it only turned over customer data when given a legally binding order that compelled them to do so, and it only complied with the specific orders. In other words, these guys aren't participants. The U.S. government doesn't play with in the realm of free will. This idea of freely choosing what you wish to do in America, that's long past. No, they were forced. You either do this, or we shut down your business. You either do this, or we'll send out guards to confiscate your business. A senior congressman, House Intelligence Committee Chairman Mike Rogers, told reporters that collecting Americans' phone records was legal, authorized by Congress, and had not been abused by the Obama administration. Oh, yeah, of course not. Legal. Yeah, it's legal because you created a secret court. Unconstitutional, mind you, but legal because you created a secret court to authorize it. He also said that it had prevented a significant attack on the U.S. within the past few years. That's also untrue. Dianne Feinstein listed the two attacks that were thwarted, and they're no different than any of the many hundreds of FBI sting operations. Here's another article. This from the perspective of Barack Hussein Obama. The Obama administration on Thursday defended its collection of telephone records of millions of Americans as part of the U.S. counterterrorism efforts, reigniting a fierce debate over policy, even as it called the program critical to warding off an attack. Again, you want to ward off an attack by those who perpetrate 99.9% of terrorist attacks worldwide? Then oppose Islam. Do not allow Muslims to immigrate into the country. Don't give them visas. You know, I was reading an article that someone sent me about Japan. In Japan, it is illegal to import a Quran in Arabic. It is illegal to create an Islamic madrasa. It is illegal to set up an Islamic organization. There is no Islamic terrorism in Japan. A Muslim cannot be granted a visa to live in Japan. They cannot have permanent residence. There is no Islamic terrorism in Japan. You want to safeguard Americans? You need to do what Japan does. It's really simple. It doesn't cost a lot of money. You don't have to spy on your own people. Quote, the United States should not be accumulating phone records on tens of millions of innocent Americans. It is not what democracy is about. That is not what freedom is about, said Senator Bernie Sanders, an independent from Vermont. It is, by the way, Bernie, what democracy is about. Democracy is mob rule. It isn't what freedom is about. You're right there. The White House said strict controls were in place to ensure the program did not violate civil liberties. Yeah, it also said strict controls are in place with our drones, whereby nearly 4,000 people have been murdered without due process. Yes, indeed. Strict controls are in place. When you're dealing with confiscating the information on the whereabouts, who people are calling, where they're calling, when they call, what sites they view on the internet, and you're casting a net that covers tens of millions, if not hundreds of millions, of Americans, there are no strict controls. That is the opposite of strict. That is the opposite of control. The intelligence community is conducting court-authorized intelligence activities. Court-authorized, yeah. Their own secret court. I mean, what's the difference between having your own secret court and the kind of things that existed in Nazi Germany? What's the difference between the behavior that existed while Stalin and the USSR were sending tens of millions of Russians to their deaths in the gulags, and what the United States is doing with its secret courts? When the court system becomes secret, what is the likelihood that justice is being achieved? Well, this is the quote, of course, from the White House spokesman, Joss Ernest, what a perfect name for this, that the intelligence community is conducting court-authorized intelligence activities pursuant to a public statute. Yeah, the public statute is the Patriot Act. And under the Patriot Act, all sorts of clandestine activities have taken place. And, of course, he wants to blame it on Congress. Welcome back to Shattering Myths. It was Thomas Jefferson. Not Thomas Jefferson, I'm sorry. It was Benjamin Franklin, who in 1775 wrote, "They who give up essential liberty to obtain a little temporary safety deserve neither liberty nor safety." One of the founding fathers of the United States wrote that line, February 17, 1775. It was published in the Memoirs and Life and Writings of Benjamin Franklin. "They who give up essential liberty to gain a little temporary safety deserve neither liberty nor safety." Someone considerably less wise, her name is Senator Dianne Feinstein, said, "It's called protecting America." She is the Democrat who heads the Senate Intelligence Committee. Giving up your liberty is now called protecting America, where Franklin said those who do so deserve neither liberty nor security. Leading members of Congress said the program had been going on for 7 years. The White House and U.S. Attorney Eric Holder said lawmakers were fully briefed. You know, the first thing that this administration does every time that it is caught is try to shed blame. You know, they've been in power now for 5 years, and they still blame the Bush administration for the economy. They are still engaged in the war in Afghanistan. They blame the Bush administration for that. They blame everyone but themselves for anything. They even tried to shed blame for the IRS scandal, saying it wasn't them that directed this, and yet documents, which we'll discover and review later this week, show that they, in fact, did order the investigations of opposing political groups. The April order forces Verizon to turn over both international calling records and domestic records, and refers to mobile and landline numbers, according to the Guardian's copy, which was labeled top secret and issued by a U.S. Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Court. So the U.S. Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Court ordered Verizon to turn over both international calling records and domestic records. "If we didn't do it, we'd be crazy," said the Republican Senator Lindsey Graham, who may be insane on that account alone. "If we didn't spy on our people, we'd be crazy." The American Civil Liberties Unions, among other groups, called on Congress to investigate the scope of the effort, which it labeled alarming and unconstitutional. Boy, I tell you, it's really a weird time when almost everything that the ACLU says is far more sane than that which the U.S. government is saying, but we have reached those days. It's a program in which some untold number of innocent people have put under their surveillance, the constant surveillance of government agents, says the U.S., the ACLU's Jaffer. President Barack Obama defended the newly revealed U.S. government phone and Internet surveillance program, saying that they were closely overseen by Congress and the courts. Oh, boy, don't be pointing your finger at me just because I've had a really bad month and that everything that that I have said has been shown to be deliberately dishonest. Don't look at me this time. Deflect your animosity to my secret court and to secret discussions on Capitol Hill. Mr. Obama said his administration had struck the right balance between security and privacy. Well, certainly not according to Benjamin Franklin. He also stressed that U.S. Internet communications of U.S. citizens and residents were not targeted. That's correct. Boy, he's really clever on his words. If you are a U.S. citizen, your Internet communications were not targeted. They were searched. They were analyzed. They were observed. But they were not targeted. You see, the target was foreign nationals. But in the process of targeting the foreign nationals, tens of millions of Americans had their activities online scrutinized. Targeted was the very specific term to mislead. He tried to reassure U.S. nobody is listening to your phone calls. No. They're not listening to the phone calls unless they decide that the phone call is worth listening to. But they are collecting data on everyone who is a Verizon customer, and my guess is it's every cellular supplier, just as it was every large internet company in Prism, as to when you use your phone, where you use your phone, who you called, and how long you were talking with them, and if your use of the phone causes them to say, oh boy, that person looks like an interesting suspect, then they listen in. The president lied.